Welcome to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast, a weekly conversation about mental health, personal development, and all the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. For more information or to find a therapist in your area, visit our website at therapyforblackgirls.com. While I hope you love listening to and learning from the podcast, it is not meant to be a substitute for a relationship with a licensed mental health professional. Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for joining me for session 347 of the Therapy for Black Girls podcast. We'll get right into our conversation after a word from our sponsors. You may have heard that most people who are Black have O-type blood. O is commonly needed for emergencies. But did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? Regardless of blood type, every day our blood saves lives and eases the pain of those living with sickle cell. Donate blood at Red Cross to help save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
The virus that causes shingles is sleeping in 99% of people over 50. While not everyone at risk will develop shingles, it strikes as a painful rash that can last for weeks. Wake up, because shingles could wake up in you. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about shingles prevention.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Have you ever dreamed of a meaningful life abroad, where your days are spent basking in local natural wonders and surrounded by new language, food, and culture? A kind of life that swaps your career-driven lifestyle for a life-centric existence? While it may sound like a whimsical fantasy, it is indeed possible to plan a life you love in another country. Proof of that are today's guests, Rashida Dow and Stephanie Perry. Both women are passionate proponents of career breaks, sabbaticals, and grown-up gap years. In 2020, they founded the Exodus Summit, an organization that shows Black women ways to plan their exodus, all while fostering community. Since the creation of Exodus Summit, hundreds of their members have taken a career break, moved abroad, or begun living nomadically. During our conversation, Rashida and Stephanie answer all the questions you might have around financing your move abroad, pouring into the local community as a foreigner, and announcing your sabbatical to your employers and family. If something resonates with you while enjoying our conversation, please share it with us on social media using the hashtag TBGInSession. Or join us over in the Sister Circle to talk more about the episode. You can join us at community.therapyforblackgirls.com. Here's our conversation. Thank you so much for joining me today. I had the pleasure of joining you recently as a speaker at your Exodus Summit. So I'm very glad to have you on Therapy for Black Girls today.
Thank you for having us. We're so excited to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. So I mentioned the Exodus Summit, and the Exodus Summit is a virtual conference for Black women planning a sabbatical, expat move, or nomadic life abroad. Can you tell me what inspired you to create the platform, and what need do you feel like it fulfills?
Stephanie and I connected through our own sabbaticals. I took one, Stephanie took one. We met during that time. And Stephanie came to me one day with the great idea of creating a summit for Black women who wanted to move abroad, take a sabbatical, you know, really explore the world on their own. And this is 2020. We were going to give everyone all the info they needed at one time. Our first summit had 50-something speakers and 40-something sessions. It was a 7-day blur, and I've blocked out some of it. But we were going to do that, and then that was it. We started a Facebook group for the members of that summit. And our plan was to close the group when it was over, And then everyone would have all the information they needed right there at that first summit. But every time we talked to our community about like this is being the end, they were like, no, no, no. We'll see you in the same place, same time, next fall. Bring us some more speakers. And so I feel like our community started this, right? We didn't have the intention of Exodus Summit being what it is 4 years later, four summits later. We just knew that in the first year, we had a lot of friends who we knew had valuable information to share with our audience. And so we wanted to get that out there so that more Black women could see ways for the world to be accessible to them. And so we did it 1 year and they won't let us quit. So we keep doing it.
That's right. And the need it fills is any person needs to see something to make that thing more possible, more realistic in our lives. And so the need that this fills is it gives Black women a place and a time to get together and see Black women living in a way that is different, that goes against what American culture is pressing you towards. You taught us, Dr. Joy, about possibility models. It gives a place for the possibility models and the people with the dream or the vision or the hope to get together and learn from each other.
I love that. I love that. So can you give us some definitions of these terms? So what does it mean to be an expat or for you to live a nomadic lifestyle?
So expat is just an immigrant, right? An expat is a person who leaves their country, the country of their birth, and goes to another place. Most of the women in our community happen to be Americans, Canadians, some Caribbean, some British women, but most of us are going to a new country. We do have some repats, some women who are moving back to the country of their birth, but it's just an immigrant, right? And then nomads are just people who bop around, right? Our women love to talk about the bop, right? Mm-hmm. It's just moving from place to place, having the powerful passports that most of us have give us access to a lot of the world. And nomadic living is just taking advantage of that. If they will let you be in that country for 3 months, you go and you move slowly in that place for 3 months. Or maybe you don't move at all. You just go to one place. But it's just about using the privileges that we do have, having these blue passports and going to countries or going to places that we want to, not because someone says that this is the place that Black women should be visiting, but visiting wherever in the world that you want to see for as long as you want to and as long as you can.
And Sheeta, you mentioned that y'all met because you both were taking a sabbatical. Can you say more about how the sabbatical aspect plays into all of this?
We come upon a lot of women in our community, and this is how I entered into it. I was working. I had one of them good jobs, girl, but I hated every moment of it. Every time I went to work, I was like, is this the day I snap? I don't know what me snapping looks like. How it was manifesting was that I have some autoimmune issues. And I got so mad one day at work that I went and I walked 2 miles to the ocean and 2 miles back. I stopped at the movies along the way. And by the time I got back, I could barely see. My autoimmune issue affects my eyes and I had a flare. Even walking, even leaving, even going to the movies to sit there and like chill did not bring me down from the level of rage I was at in that meeting I was in. And there were other ways in which it was impacting my body. I was going to a therapist at the time. And you know, sometimes you're like, I wasn't expecting that from my therapist. She was like, oh, they sound like horrible people. And I was like, wait a minute, girl, what? What? My workplace was going out of business. And I had the choice of getting another job or taking, so I had some funds saved. I thought about taking some time off to travel the world for a year because it had always been a goal of mine. And that's how my career break happened. My therapist was like, go. Like, this is the time for you to go. Go do it. First, I'm going to drop this real quick. She told me to quiet quit before quiet quitting was a thing. What she said to me at the time was, what is the least amount of work you can give them and not get fired? Because she was like, you're working too hard to prove things to people who don't want to see your value. You're going to work yourself to death and they're never going to acknowledge that you're giving them what they're asking for and beyond. So stop it. She was like, give them the least. And that changed my life. And since then, I've been giving this message to anyone who will listen. Like, we shouldn't be out there killing ourselves to do the work at these jobs for people who will never acknowledge our value because they're not interested in acknowledging our value. And so I took a career break. I took a year off. And in that year off, I realized I could not go back to being in an office and having those same conversations again. I could not allow someone else to bring my stress level to a point where it immediately impacted my body. And so the career break for me was a time to kind of get back. The career break saved my life in a way that I didn't know I needed. And so I'm an advocate for any Black woman, because whoever is listening to this right now will probably agree, as a Black woman, you are underpaid and overworked, right? And so since that is the story for so many of us, wherever we can, I recommend that women opt out, find another way, right? Like, I went to law school, and so I was working as a lawyer. And you know, you invest a lot of time to get that law degree. I passed the bar in 2 states. I did all the things. I was invested in my career. I was working for a good company. If I stayed there, I would have died. I know that to be true, that I would have had some kind of breakdown. My body would have broken down. It would have caused permanent damage to me as a human if I stayed there. And so now I'm like, ladies, what if instead of killing yourself at the job that you hate, right? What if you took a break? Whether that is 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, what if you took some time between leaving one job that you hate and going to another job that you hope might be better, but we know, right? Like, we know. And even if you don't hate your job, when's the last time you got time for yourself? Time to say what I want to pursue, who I'd like to be, how much sleep I'd like to get. I didn't realize how sleep deprived I was. And most people don't realize how sleep deprived they are until they get an extended break. And sometimes those extended breaks aren't voluntary. But if you can take a voluntary extended break and say, I'm going to spend 6 months on a beach eating coconuts, your body is going to thank you. And you only get one, right? And so I hear a lot of times from women that like, oh, this isn't possible for myself. But we have a community of almost 14,000 women now who are actively trying to make this happen for themselves. And we have so many success stories of women who have done it, who've retired earlier than they ever expected, who've taken the breaks, and who on those breaks learned things about themselves that will lead them to more satisfaction and happiness than chasing the next dollar at the job.
So it sounds like those very early meetings that you all had, that experience of kind of taking that first sabbatical, has radically changed both of your lives. So if you are comfortable sharing, where are you both now and what are you doing? How did you end up being there? I mean, how would you describe your lifestyle at this point?
I'm in San Jose, Costa Rica, and I'm setting up a home. I'm getting residency and making San Jose, Costa Rica my home. My career break happened just because I wanted a year of travel without a job having any say. Right? I wanted pictures for Instagram. Like, seriously, I just want to take cute pictures and lay in a hammock. But that career break introduced me to the rest of myself, right? The me who wasn't worker Stephanie, but all of Stephanie. That's why it's really hard to go back. No turning back. So where I am now post-sabbatical, right, after career break, is I've created an entire life where I get to have a whole life and not work. And then some other things I get to do that fit around work. Mm-hmm. And so where I am is in an amazing place, getting to really form community with people, really have sisterhood and enjoy the sisterhood and reciprocate, be a sister to people, be a friend to people, be in community with Black women, because I don't have the thing. I don't have to squeeze these things in. I get to make a whole life out of those things. And then squeeze in work when she can, okay? Work has to get in where it fits in. Work is not my life anymore. It's not my priority. It doesn't dictate what I do, where I go, who I see anymore.
I am in Mexico City. I ended up here because I'd been here about 4 times, and I came here 2 or 3 times in my career break. The last time in my career break that I came here, I was with one of my best friends. She met me down here for holidays. And we met at the hotel and walked outside to go take a walk. And I walked around and I said, why don't I live here? And she was like, why don't you? I was speechless. I was like, I don't have an answer. I had spent, this was January of my career break, so I'd spent about 7 months traveling the world already. I had experienced so many things, so many places. And yet the idea of not moving back to America, and I wasn't born in America, so my family are all immigrants. It's not like we have deeply entrenched roots or anything, but still the idea of not moving back to America was like, people do, my parents did that. They moved to multiple other countries in their lifetime. I can move to another country too. If I want to, I just have to figure out what to do. And now I have residency here. I've been here since 2019 on and off, fully a resident since 2020. I love my life in Mexico City. I get to do whatever I want. Stephanie and I spend about 2.5 months out of a year bossing each other around. And the rest of the time, we can do whatever we want and go wherever we want. So even though Mexico City is my home, I'm probably here 6 or 7 months out of the year. And the rest of the time, I'm somewhere else. I'm going to see Stephanie in South Africa. We'll probably be there for somewhere in Africa for probably a month and a half together. And then we're going on a cruise in the spring. Like, we just, together or apart, we built lives that allow us to do the things we want from wherever. And I know that for some people, this sounds impossible, but 5 years ago, I was a corporate lawyer who could not imagine this life. I was a corporate lawyer who had to go to the office every day because I worked at a company that people needed to see me every day. They needed to come ask me their stupid question every single day, right? And so the idea that I'm living the life I'm living now was so foreign to me that if anyone is thinking, yeah, you can do that, but I can't, remember that I thought that too in 2018. That's what I was thinking before I went on a break. Like, not only did I not have those possibility models, but like my brain couldn't even accept it. Even when I was traveling the world, I couldn't imagine the next step of moving abroad. And so it's part of the reason we have this conversation all the time is because Stephanie and I found a freedom that we couldn't have imagined years ago. And we want other women to know they can get it too, right? Like, it may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. It may take some work, but it can be yours too if you want it.
So let's talk directly to these sisters now, because I think a lot of people listening to this are like, absolutely not. Like, I don't even know where to start. So if somebody is considering a change like this, what kinds of questions do they need to ask themselves to kind of start down this path?
I think the first thing you need to know is, what could your life look like in a different place? Get a vision, get an idea for yourself. The dreams, right? The things that when you're scrolling on Instagram, you're like, oh, must be nice, right? Get an idea for what your life could look like. Then it makes it a little easier to do the steps to work towards it. You don't want to copy what Rashida did, what I did, what somebody else did. So get an idea of what would be amazing, even if you don't think it's possible today. We want to start with a vision.
Stephanie starts you with your vision, and I'm going to take you to what I think is the next step and what I always tell everyone, and that is do the math. Do the math. What happened to me, the situation most women I talk to are in, is that your starting place is it's not possible. And a lot of it's not possible is related to money. Most people start it's not possible without doing the math of how much would that life actually cost me? And how much money do I have access to right now? Or may I have access to in the future if I move some things around, juggle, carry the one, divide by six, right? What are the different ways that you can get money? What are the different ways that you can fund your lifestyle overseas? A lot of our women are doing remote work, and that helps make it more accessible to them. Stephanie is the house sitting queen. She's Dr. House. We need a new title for you, like Dr. Housing. One of the ways I got introduced to Stephanie is she's a house sitter who trains other people to become house sitters. And house sitting provides free accommodations while you're traveling around the world. So Stephanie's, this is always so impressive for me. I'm gonna put her business in the streets. Stephanie's budget when she traveled for 1 year was like $14,000, $14,400, something like that.
$14,400. But let me tell you, that was before I knew about house sitting, right? After I started house sitting, I spent 6 months in Mexico. I left with $3,000 or $4,000, and I came back with some money still, right? Because when you don't have to pay for a place to stay, you don't have a lot of money to spend. You don't have to spend a whole lot.
And so if a 6 month career break in another country might only cost you less than $3,000 or $4,000, like it sounds more accessible right now, doesn't it, than the idea of who's going to pay for this, right? So get the dream, right? know what you want, because you can't do the math until you know what you want. Figure out what you want your life to look like, and then do the math to figure out what that's going to cost. And there are a lot of resources online. If you know what country you want to go to, there are a lot of great resources that will tell you about the cost of living in those places. Add a little cushion. I always tell people to add a little cushion to that when you're doing your math. I don't want you broke overseas. No, no. And then look at what that costs compared to the life you're living right now. What we see for most people is when they go overseas, they don't want to come back because they're living an equal or nicer life for less money. And that doesn't mean that every other place is less expensive than the U.S. I live in Mexico City. It is less expensive than some cities in the U.S., but it's more expensive than some cities in the U.S. And so, you know, you just kind of have to figure out a place that's right for you, that can fit in your budget, that's going to give you the lifestyle you want. And that feels right, right? Like, you don't want to leave a life you may not be in love with for a life that's just like, meh, that's not America, right? Like, that's not what we want for you. We want you to walk into your joy, into what feels like freedom, into what is expansive for you, what gives you the space to become the person you've always known you can be. And you can do that for not a lot of money around the world. I were telling you, like, it can be done. And so every time we hear a success story, we love taking credit. Our woman, our woman go out and get it. And every time we see it, we're like, yes, we did that. But it's just, it's so much joy in seeing Black women around the world. And we see them now creating communities, getting together for brunch in Rwanda, right? All around the world, we are seeing our women create their communities in ways that existed when we took our break, but not in the amount that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, so that's step number three, right? Get in community. You're not going to have the same people who encourage you and support you and cheer you on when you go back to school, when you buy a house or a bigger house, when you take in your niece's kids, and the same people who support you doing the most aren't necessarily the same people who are going to support you when you decide to do the least. When you decide to start doing as little as possible, you may need a newer community. Not that you're going to need to distance yourself from the previous community, but you may need new people who get it. And so number three, get in community with people who are moving in this direction. There's a lot of messaging out there that we're supposed to stay and struggle, right? We're supposed to just make ourselves as comfortable as we can in a situation of struggle, as opposed to just walking away from the struggle. There's a lot of messaging that Black women are here to save people. We're here to save the world. We're here to save democracy. We got to save the country. We got to save Black families. We got to save the church, right? And so when you say, you know what? I'm going to take some time, whatever period of time. Well, I'm going to take some time. I'm going to spend that time with me, focusing on what I want to do and listening to me. You're going to need community with people who like that, because a lot of people will not like that.
Because we talk about this all the time online, we have people who react negatively to what we're doing in ways that astound me, because you don't know me. I'm not impacting your life at all. Every once in a while, people seem to think that, like, it's some sort of like trafficking, or like we're stealing Black women from America. And it's like, I don't even see these women. Like, they go to where they want to go. I wasn't at that brunch in Rwanda, right? Like, but they were there and they're happy and they found their joy. We don't tell you where to go. If you ask us for ideas, right, and you give us your criteria, we might have some ideas that might fit it. But we're not telling you where to go. We're not telling you when to go, when to be there. We just want whatever looks like freedom and joy to you to be something that you can grasp in your hand. Because it's so rare that in America, we are allowed to do that, right? You're not allowed to touch your happiness in America. There's always got to be something more. You get the house, like Stephanie said, but what about the next house? What about the bigger house? What about the vacation home, right? There's no enough. You get the education. Black women and higher education, the answer is always go get another degree, when you know it's not going to solve the problem. Because the problem isn't that you're not qualified enough. The problem for Black women is never that you're not qualified enough, right? It's more likely that someone does not want to accept that you deserve those qualifications, that you truly earned those qualifications. Getting another degree isn't going to change that. But that, to Stephanie's point, is something that's easier for your mom and them to accept than, like, I am leaving to go to Thailand. I'll see you guys when I see you. I think some of my friends thought I was having a breakdown when I left. And now I might have been. I told you that job was trying to kill me. I might have been having a breakdown. But the minute I left and I slept and I started getting back into me and the me that I knew, I wasn't the one who had it wrong. My freedom showed me that this is the life for me. It may not be the life for everybody, but staying to fight is not for me. And that is, I'm not fighting for America. I'm not fighting for that job. I'm not fighting to be in a relationship with anybody. I'm so sorry. We make it easy or I say goodbye. Like that's how I feel right now in my life. My biggest flex in my life right now is that I only speak to people I want to speak to.
More from our conversation after the break.
How many times have you arrived in Orlando and suddenly realized you forgot the kids? But then you remember, you had no intention of bringing the kids. You are in Orlando to enjoy yourself. It's an amazing opportunity to have fun and experience all the fun Orlando has to offer. Sure, Orlando is known as the theme park capital of the world, but there's so much more to this destination. It's the place where adults can become kids again, and happy hour happens any hour, with never-ending food festivals, fresh new dining experiences, and outdoor adventures from zip lining to its beautiful natural springs. And of course, fireworks every single night. Plus, you have loads of entertainment options, see unique neighborhoods, and can even visit their blossoming arts and culture. Orlando has everything for an amazing getaway with your loved ones or friends, including exciting thrill rides, lush lazy rivers, and world-class golf and spas. Yes, there's more to see, do, and experience than you'd expect. In Orlando, anything is possible if you can imagine it. Plan your escape today and save at visitorlando.com.
You may be aware that most people who are Black have O-type blood. O is commonly needed for emergencies and life-saving measures. But did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? You, along with the American Red Cross, regardless of your blood type, can help by donating blood. Every day, our blood saves lives and eases the pain for those living with sickle cell. When you donate blood, there is a direct, positive impact within our community. Right now, there is great need for blood donations in the African American community. Every donation counts and makes a difference in someone's life. Donate blood at Red Cross to help save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
So besides the finance piece and the math piece that you've already talked us through, what are some of the other common anxieties that come up for people when they are considering something like this?
There's always the fear that you are giving up or walking away from what you worked so hard for. Right? You worked so hard for your job or your whatever it is. And there's fear that taking a break from it or quitting it altogether means that all of that was for nothing. But all of that was for nothing. All of that got you to where you have choices today. Mm-hmm. Right? I wasn't an attorney. I was a hospital pharmacy technician. But that job gave me enough money to take a year off. That job got me to the place where I had choices. I had options and I could exercise those options. There's always the fear of that. Also, there's just the fear that other places are so unsafe, that we live in the safest place, and any place else we go is going to be, it's so dangerous. Oh my gosh, Mexico is so dangerous. But listen, I'm like, girl, you live in St. Louis. I mean, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Fear of those things are probably the first things that jump out. And healthcare, what are you going to do about healthcare? In the United States, your healthcare is tied to your work status. But that's not a worldwide thing. Having access to healthcare is a thing that really scares Black women about taking a break or moving abroad. But it's really the reason to go. Once you have a little taste, healthcare is one of the like gateway drugs of moving abroad. Once you have a little taste of healthcare in another country that is accessible, that is affordable, where they treat you like a human being, where you actually get time with your doctor, where you talk to your doctor, where your doctor WhatsApps you and sends you messages, you're not going to want to come back to the U.S. healthcare system.
Another big thing that comes up for Black women specifically is family. The idea that you're going to leave your family behind, the idea that you're not going to be there to care for the people you love or not be able to like continue to be the responsible party. Because a lot of the people who get themselves in the position where they're like, I am stressed, I am burnt out, I want something new. I'm talking about a lot of, I'm not always going to say that the first daughter, but I'm going to say the responsible daughter. A lot of responsible daughters are out there like, I've been working my whole life. I've been taking care of people this whole time. So I can't go. Because if I go, who's going to step into my shoes? Because no one's ever stepped into my shoes before. No one's ever said, I'm going to do this. And a lot of times when they open that door, someone will walk through. You know what I mean? Like someone in the family will step up. The other thing we hear is that, oh, if I move, I won't see them anymore. My mother came to visit me more when I lived in Mexico City than when I lived in Columbus, Ohio. Like significantly more times than when I lived in Columbus, Ohio. And now she lives in Mexico. Because what does Dr. Joy say? Possibility models, right? She saw it and she was like, oh, this is nice. She's off in Merida right now, running the streets, pretending she's not as old as she is because the city is keeping her young. Because she found a city that she loves. She loves the community there. She loves being with the people there. She loves being at the pool, in her backyard pool every day at the hotel with her girlfriends once or twice a week. Like they have created this community that she loves and she wasn't getting when she was living in Florida. She wasn't experiencing the things the way she wanted to experience them. So for a lot of people, it's just, if you find the city that resonates with your soul, it's a done deal. Mexico City was always a done deal for me. I went there and I was like, I should live here. And now I live here. So the idea that it's cutting a tie with your family isn't true, because if they want to come see you, they can come see you. They have passports, right? And passports aren't impossible to get. They're not the easiest, but they're not impossible to get. You can always go back home to see them. And moving abroad doesn't mean moving forever, right? You can make a choice to take a break from the U.S. and come back when you want to. A lot of people don't. I would say most people don't. Once you get a taste of a good life overseas, it's hard to go back. But you can do that if you want to. And so even if you are uncomfortable putting the burdens that you've been carrying for your family down, you probably should anyway. A lot of Black women should be finding ways to say, I love you. I've taken care of you for this far. What are we going to do to put you in a situation where either someone else can pick up the slack or we find a new model? One of the things we talk about, aging is expensive in the U.S. It's, and healthcare, Stephanie talked about that. Healthcare is one of the reasons aging is so expensive in the U.S. In other countries, it's not that bad, right? In other countries, you can get someone in the home to care for you for significantly less than you might in the U.S. because labor isn't as expensive. It's not cutting ties to your family. Maybe it's taking someone with you. People are always like, oh, I have kids. I can't do this. Kids go to school all over the world, right? I'm a single mom. I can't. Why not? Why not? We have so many mothers in our community who are either have their kids enrolled in school or they're homeschooling or they're doing some kind of world school experience, and they show other women how it's done because it can be done. It can be done with kids. It can be done with aging parents. It can be done. Family and what you think your obligations are to your community, to your church, to the country, those are things that you may be holding on to too tightly and not looking at the other options available for you.
So Stephanie, you already mentioned house sitting as one way to kind of venture into these other places. But what other options exist for like finding places to stay in other countries? And how do you decide which other country is going to be a good fit for you?
This is a good question, because the places that you enjoyed on vacation may not work for you as a resident. The places that you've enjoyed visiting may not also be places that you've enjoyed living. We find that women like to just pick. It sounds really strange, but there's enough information out there in the world. There's some place that you've been looking at, that you've been eyeing. Sometimes you just pick and you go there and you scout it out in a different way. Instead of being a tourist in a place, you go there and say, what would my life look like if I lived there? Airbnb can mean possibly that you are staying in a residential neighborhood, right? Instead of in a hotel in the tourist area, you could live in a residential area for a while, check out the grocery stores and check out transportation and check out the infrastructure in a place. It really can be as simple as hopping on a flight, booking an Airbnb, getting in community with the local expats, right? With other people who have moved to a place because they've navigated what you want to work through and checking some things out, see how they sound to you. Because of the internet, there's so much information out there that seriously, you can just pick some places that have sounded good because you saw some YouTube videos and you saw some, right? You saw some things and then just decide on your individual criteria and pick, like seriously, pick, go visit, get an Airbnb there and go. So women stay in a variety of ways. There are businesses that give you a landing spot in a place. We have a good friend named Michelle who has a home in San Miguel de Allende, Mexico, and she has created a soft landing place for Black women and families who want to move to that place. So there are places that will help you navigate this so you're not on your own. So if you don't want to just go end up in a city in an Airbnb in a strange place, there are like intermediaries who will help you navigate that. You can just put in, listen, who helps people move to this place in your search bar. Google it, look at it on YouTube, look people up on Instagram, look people up on Facebook and in Facebook groups, ask questions in Facebook groups. And you can get some good help towards deciding on what fits your criteria. Coming up with your criteria is a different step.
So can we get some input on like, how do you come up with your criteria for where your country would be?
So I actually was going to speak to that. I always tell people when you start this process, a lot of us, when you think of where I might want to live, will either have like zero places on their list or 100. And if you're at zero, okay, leave the page blank. If you're at 100, write them all down. Write all those places down. And then I ask people to figure out the top five things they want in a city are. Whatever top five things you want. Or like, if you can't think of that, whatever top five things you love about the city you currently live in, right? And then whatever five things you do not want in the city. Whatever things you're like, this is not at all, I don't want traffic. I don't want smog. I don't want lots of people. Don't come to Mexico City. Those are on your list, right? Like whatever things that you don't want. And then compare them to the cities on your list. Like go through the list. A lot of times I'm speaking to someone who wanted to be in a very active city. And when I asked her what city she was considering, it was all like mountain cities. And I was like, I feel like you're not talking to yourself. Like there's no connection there. So going through and some of the criteria points to your question could be things like, what is your budget, right? If your budget is $1,000 a month, maybe you're probably not moving to Switzerland. So start maybe there with what the max range of your budget is. You can easily figure out cost of living. There are a lot of online calculators that will help you with that. A lot of Black women want to be in places where there are other Black women. Is that something you care about? If so, you should be looking around to see where there are communities of Black women. A lot of Black women care about dating when they go overseas. If you want to date a specific type of man, you have to go where that specific type of man is. You can't only want to date men over 6 feet and move. There are a number of countries you can't move to if that's what you want, right? If you only want to date Black American men, I am so sorry, baby. You might need to stay in America. Like, because, you know, you need to go where the numbers are if that is one of your priorities. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it should be. But if it is, you really have to look at what's available out there. So those are some of the criteria we see. Good schools are other things. Some people only want to go to English-speaking countries or Spanish-speaking countries or French-speaking countries. So those are criteria. Well, how much language do you know compared to how much language do you need to know to get around? A lot of countries have cities that are heavy in tourists. So there may be a lot of English spoken there, or a lot of multiple languages spoken there. And some that have less tourism, Maybe you don't have to be deep in your language, in your books, on your Duolingo, on the apps, learning stuff, because there's just no other way to get around. So if you're like, I can't learn anything new right now, perhaps going to an area that has a lot of tourists would be better for you. On the other hand, some people are like, I don't want to see another American in my life. Like, that is how some people approach it. Don't go to an area with a lot of tourism. I tell people, what's your dream life? What do you wake up? What do you do? Where do you shop? What do you eat? Think about those things, about the life you want to live. Put it on paper, and the important criteria will be highlighted in your brain.
So have there been any unexpected challenges for you living abroad that you typically caution other people about?
From my perspective, I think the things that I see surprising people is how much the world is all alike, right? And on the other hand, how different some things can be, right? So like in Mexico, for example, what it might say on a company's website, a store's website, what it might say on their door about their opening hours, maybe that's a dream and a wish. Like, what's that got to do with reality? The coffee shop says they open at 7, but no one's there at 8:30. Oh, well, just find the next one. A lot of Americans have expectations that things are going to go as they expect them to go. It's going to do what it says on the website. The documents I need for my residency are going to be exactly what it says on the website. And I'm like, no, that's not how that works. It's just whatever. You just learn to roll with the punches of whatever you're dealt. You play the hand you're dealt every day here. The other part of it, though, is that I frequently hear people surprised that inflation is happening in other countries as well. I'm like, yes, baby. Everything is more expensive everywhere. Welcome. Right? And so there are some ways in which you might be trying to leave something in America, but it is a very global issue. And so it will be wherever you go. And there may be some things where if you can't let go of what you expect from where you're coming from, America, Canada, wherever that is, if you can't let go of your expectations, you're going to get your feelings hurt. Because maybe that coffee shop is not going to open till like noon. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, customer service does not exist the way we're used to it. It's just not. It's not a thing. They don't do it. Anytime I order food, any order more than two or three things, one of the things is absolutely wrong, right? I'm ordering Fanta, orange Fanta, orange soda. I'm going to get a ginger ale. Okay, that's just how it is.
What are you going to do? Complain to the manager?
They don't do that.
Wrong with it. Save that ginger ale for the next time you want a ginger ale and move on with your life.
More from our conversation after the break.
How many times have you arrived in Orlando and suddenly realized you forgot the kids? But then you remember, you had no intention of bringing the kids. You are in Orlando to enjoy yourself. It's an amazing opportunity to have fun and experience all the fun Orlando has to offer. Sure, Orlando is known as the theme park capital of the world, but there's so much more to this destination. It's the place where adults can become kids again, and happy hour happens any hour with never-ending food festivals, fresh new dining experiences, and outdoor adventures from zip lining to its beautiful natural springs. And of course, fireworks every single night. Plus, you have loads of entertainment options, see unique neighborhoods, and can even visit their blossoming arts and culture. Orlando has everything for an amazing getaway with your loved ones or friends, including exciting thrill rides, lush lazy rivers, and world-class golf and spas. Yes, there's more to see, do, and experience than you'd expect. In Orlando, anything is possible if you can imagine it. Plan your escape today and save at visitorlando.com.
You may be aware that most people who are Black have O-type blood. O is commonly needed for emergencies and life-saving measures. But did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? You, along with the American Red Cross, regardless of your blood type, can help by donating blood. Every day, our blood saves lives and eases the pain for those living with sickle cell. When you donate blood, there is a direct, positive impact within our community. Right now, there is great need for blood donations in the African American community. Every donation counts and makes a difference in someone's life. Donate blood at Red Cross to help save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
So we talked a little bit about sabbaticals, but I'm imagining some people are thinking like, okay, I might be able to do this. How would you talk with your employer about taking extended time off to be able to travel or do something like this?
I tell people to figure out where you want to go, figure out all your details, talk to your employer, but be ready to leave no matter what they say, right? So if you go to your employer and they say, no, a break, please. We were ready to quit. Someone I interviewed a while ago said that she hated her job and she wasn't scared to leave because she knew when she came back, she could always find another job she hated. So she was like, what does it matter? If I hate this job, what does it matter when I come back? I'll find another job I hate, right? So I can probably count on one hand the number of people who I know who've gotten a no strings attached sabbatical. Someone I know went into her employer, it was a city government, and it was in her little manual. I always say, read your employee manual, see what it allows. She went to her employee manual. She went to ask for leave. And without her saying anything, they gave her a paid leave. And I was like, well, look at God. Look at that. Magic, right? But most people were talking about either quitting your job, taking FMLA, doing something else that gets you out. Some people may ask for sabbaticals that have a string attached. And then when they're ready, they cut the string like, yes, but you have to come back and work for so and so long. And then eventually they're like, oh, I changed my mind. I'm not coming back. Some people will take a leave because they'll continue to be covered by some health insurance. All right, they'll figure something out like an extended vacation. But getting an employer to outright agree to even unpaid time off is almost impossible. Look, read your handbook. Read your employee manual. See if it's in there. Ask anyway, because you never know what's going to happen. My client did not expect that to happen. And it did for her. Ask, but be prepared to walk away if they say no.
That's right. Particularly if you work for a non-US based company, right? If your company is a European company, you have probably a better chance of them having a system in place. But if you work for a US company, friends, you can quit. You can make your own sabbatical. Okay.
You right. You just have to do it yourself.
DMO.
You don't want to be there anyway.
So how would you advise people who are relocating to a new country to actually pour into the local culture and community as opposed to approaching it as like a colonist Western, kind of like, okay, I'm going to go here and take over kind of thing. What suggestions do you have?
That's right. First, Black women are the only people who have this question, right? Black women are the only people who have this concern. I've never heard anyone ever ask this question except for Black women, right? How do I go there and not move like a colonizer? Okay. So because we're asking this question, we probably are already more equipped to be better residents of a new place. First, we make an effort to learn that language. Mm-hmm. If you're going someplace, make an effort to learn the language. It is the easiest signal to people that you don't mean any harm, that you are there to incorporate yourself into that community and not stand out as a person who's just there to exploit, to pull from, and not to give back to. I think you also want to reevaluate our relationship with owning property. I think property ownership and land ownership in a new country is dicey. It can cause a lot of strife. And I think it's because it's just the American way. Even in the U.S., you're not seen as a full-fledged adult until you own some property. In other countries, that's not a thing. That's not a thing. And when you come in as a foreigner and you come in and start buying up land, people are automatically going to have feelings about that. So reevaluate your relationship with property ownership. It's okay to live in a place that you don't own. It's okay. People all over the world do it. It works out for them. These are two signals that you can give to people that you're not there to exploit, that you're there to live inside of a community.
So for me, I went out of my way to make sure that my landlord was local. The biggest chunk of money I pay each month goes to a woman who lives in the city and was born and raised in the city. It's not going to foreigners. But what I also see, and I want people to be careful of, is I want Black women to avoid whatever the gold rush is in that city. Mexico City became very popular for tourists in the past few years, and we saw a lot of Americans renting a place to then go rent it on Airbnb to do that rental arbitrage and make money on. And I'm like, you don't hear that colonizer energy right there. Like, what are you doing in this community? Like, yes, the local landlords are jacking up the rent. Yes, they are. But you're not helping when you're adding to the issue. So property ownership just is a very visible way in which people do that. I see lots of places around here where the landlord is a foreigner, and I'm like, I don't like the way that feels. I don't like what it does to the housing market, et cetera. But Airbnb places isn't going to be the only gold rush you see in cities. When you get to your city, see what people are doing. Like, oh, this is an easy way to make money. Whatever that is typically has the local residents under its heel, right? And so, like, I would say avoid that, whatever that looks like wherever you go.
And then Rashida does a wonderful thing. She goes to Pilates, instructed by a local person in Spanish. Right? You just want to make sure you don't look like you've walled yourself off. It's totally possible to move to Costa Rica, move to Mexico, move to Grenada, South Africa, and wall yourself off and only live with Americans. You could do that. It's the wrong answer. Rashida takes Pilates in Spanish with local people. We have a girlfriend who took an art class, right? Getting in community with people is going to make your life so much better. And it's also just going to help us Black women who are moving abroad be taken in a little bit more. We already have, Black women have a very good reputation around the world. People love Black women. As much as anti-Blackness is universal, people do really love Black women. We're in our 40s, and especially Black women in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, we are loved. And so you can incorporate yourself into community and places. You can become a member of that society. You don't have to stay on the outskirts just because you weren't born there. And doing things in the local community is a straight shot to that.
Mm-hmm. I have a word of caution, though. One of the things that I hear that we don't say, but it drives me, when I hear it, is I hear people talking about, oh, you just go to a place, you need to live like a local. What I want to say is that that shrinks the local experience to something that can be a snapshot. I am a poor in the building I live in. My garage is filled with G-Wagons and people getting picked up by their personal drivers. But the idea of living like a local in Mexico was like poverty. You live on $300 a month and you eat. No, the Mexican experience, the Thai experience, whatever country you go to, the Colombian experience is as vast and diverse, most likely, as the American experience. So I would avoid getting that you have to live like a local in your brain. It makes a caricature out of what the local experience is, when in reality, it's probably much, much more diverse than you can even imagine.
Thank you so much for that. Such incredible information you all have shared. I have a ton of questions that I didn't even get a chance to ask you, but I'm sure you already have resources for all the questions I would have had anyway. So tell us where we can stay connected with you all. What is your website, as well as any social media handles you'd like to share?
Our joint business is called Exodus Summit. It is a wonderful community for Black women who want to consider planning their sabbatical, their career break, their move abroad. We are on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, as Exodus Summit. Individually, Rashida and I run our own businesses. I am a house sitter and I am the creator of House Sitter School. On all of the platforms, I am Vacarious, except for YouTube, where I am Stephanie Perry. My YouTube channel is a wonderful place for Black women who are into this kind of talk, who are into embracing ease and really seriously doing as little as possible.
I can be found at RashidaDow.com. I am a career break coach. I've been a career break coach since 2019 of my career break. I love to help women find their joy wherever it may be around the world. I also help people retire early, move abroad, all of those things in that space. I run a group coaching program to help them do that. I also coach women one-on-one. I run a group coaching program to help them do that. I also coach women one-on-one. I have a YouTube channel. I'm at Rashida. You can find me on Instagram at Rashida D. And like I said, my website is rashidadao.com. I want more Black women to experience the joy that I have found living this life. And so we've got a ton of resources between us, between the Exodus Summit site. You can still get a replay ticket to Exodus Summit at exodussummit.com so you can hear Dr. Joy come talk to us. Yes, yes. We do the summit every fall. The Facebook group and the actual summit are places where Black women can share their dreams while being fully supported. Zero detractors. This is not a place where you're going to say, I want to do something, and someone's going to be like, that's dumb. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you go to this other place? Why? It's not that place. This is a place where Black women say, I want to move to
New Zealand.
And someone's like, yes, I know someone in New Zealand. Like, we have someone in our community in New Zealand who helps people move to New Zealand, right? They're there. They're helpful. They understand that we don't all want the same thing. We're not in competition with each other, right? Seeing my sister win helps me win, right? It helps me know that this is possible. It definitely helps me see what's possible in my life, right? And then she bosses me around and makes me do stuff. But that's just how it goes when you have a business partner. But yeah, you get to see all these other women and know that if they can do it, you can do it too. And so I just really recommend people join our community. You can find us at exodussummit.com/community. That will take you directly to the Facebook group. And yeah, we're just hoping that other women will see, maybe not today, see this in their future, but be curious. If you're curious, right? Come join us.
Dr. Joy already agreed that I was the peacemaker, so clearly, I'm not the boss. I'm the peacemaker in this relationship, in this business.
We bring the whole stuff. I love that. I love that beautiful sisterhood heels tie-in. Thank you so much for that. We will be sure to include all of those links and resources in our show notes. Thank y'all again for spending some time with us today.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad Rashida and Stephanie were able to join me for this conversation. To learn more about them and their work, be sure to visit the show notes at therapyforblackgirls.com/session347. And don't forget to text two of your girls right now and tell them to check out the episode. If you're looking for a therapist in your area, check out our therapist directory at therapyforblackgirls.com/directory. And if you want to continue digging into this topic or just be in community with other sisters, come on over and join us in the Sister Circle. It's our cozy corner of the internet designed just for Black women. You can join us at community.therapyforblackgirls.com. This episode was produced by Frida Lucas, Elise Ellis, and Zaria Taylor. Editing was done by Denison Bradford. Thank y'all so much for joining me again this week. I look forward to continuing this conversation with you all real soon. Take good care. You may have heard that most people who are Black have O-type blood. O is commonly needed for emergencies. But did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? Regardless of blood type, every day our blood saves lives and eases the pain of those living with sickle cell. Donate blood at Red Cross to help save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.